For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the lord of the vineyard saith unto the steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them, and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil, because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many shall be called, but few chosen. We will end our reading. This is Ian Gollaher with the message of the gospel as we let the Bible speak. Thank you for being a part of our programs. Thank you for joining with us through the year. And as you have listened to that Bible reading, we're going to be looking at laboring for the Lord, but assured of a blessing. And we know that our labor for the Lord in the year gone by has not been in vain, but the Lord will reward us richly. And as we soon enter into the new year, let us go forth with zeal to serve the Lord at every opportunity that is given to us. And I know for many these are tough days with this pandemic. We are not presently back in church for our regular services. We have online services, and you can go to our website and get all the information on that. But I'm praying that the preaching of God's word on radio, on our webcast, that it will stir the hearts of many and draw you to personal saving faith in the Lord Jesus. Maybe in this year of the pandemic will be the year of your conversion, when you will realize that the sentence of death is upon us, and the enemy of death is catching up, and we need the life that is in the Lord. We need to be saved by His grace and by His wonderful power. And so I do invite you to stay tuned with us right through the message here today as we let the Bible speak on the laborers in the vineyard right up to the 11th hour. And may you be drawn to serve the Lord also. Coming to this parable of the laborers in the vineyard. known as the 11th hour proposition. I don't think that there's a businessman in the world who would do what we are seeing and reading here, that he would give the exact same amount of pay to each and every worker, no matter how long he is on the job. This is not an earn as you go. This rather is grace. And this parable of the workers in the vineyard shows us that we're not saved by performance. We're not saved by works. But rather, this address is to those who are saved and have the opportunity to serve the Lord. Now here, every worker received a penny, no matter how long he worked in the vineyard. Some were hired in the morning when the sun was rising. And think of what that meant, that they had to get out of bed early, and the challenge that that can be to some people. They had to get on site. They had to start their day with the dew of the grass on the morning rising of the sun. And they had to sweat it out as the sun intensified and the heat of the day came on. They would need their water and refreshment. It would be a long day. It would seem to be a 12-hour day. Now, most people don't work 12 hours in 2 days. Most people like to split it up a little bit. 12 hours is a long shift. And so these who came on the job early, you could say that they earned their penny. They worked long, they kept at the job, and when pay hour came, they somehow received a penny. Now, I want to give the first warning up front on this, that this parable is not about earning your way to heaven. We must get that right out of our minds. Indeed, this parable, as we learned this morning, is the result of Peter's question, "What shall we have therefore?" Now, I really want to tell you what happened to me. This week, I woke up in the morning with this 11th hour in my mind. I thought about that and thought, boy, that would work very well for a end-of-year message in the congregation. And then as I got to Matthew 20 and read down this parable, I began to ask, well, why did the Lord even give this parable? And then I realized that it was due to the whole event of the young man who would not give up his riches to be a disciple of Christ, the Lord teaching that it is more difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle, and how difficult it is for the rich to become disciples of Christ, yet not impossible. But then Peter, who is in the poor category, he asked the question, "What shall we have therefore?" And the Lord went on to explain that no man will lose or deny themselves in this world without great gain. And he spoke of the hundredfold principle. Those who have left mother, father, houses, land, sisters, brothers, or other self-denials, they will receive an hundredfold in this life and eternal life. But the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. And then he went on to tell this parable and explain these workers coming into the vineyard even at the 11th hour. And while they had a very short work hour, just 1 hour left, they did not sweat it out through the whole day, and yet they all received one penny. It is a most amazing parable, and it carries with it a great gospel lesson that every one of us are recipients of grace. Now, as we get into this parable tonight, I want us to look at three major parts. The master is hiring. The master will hire all who come. The master gives out gracious rewards. He pays not according to time, nor according to work and performance, but according to will and desire. Now, this vineyard is a grand analogy of the kingdom of heaven. The Lord commenced this parable by saying, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto." And so this picture of a landowner planting, producing a vineyard, requiring many laborers, it is a picture of our Heavenly Father and the kingdom of grace that he has established. This kingdom is the church. It is the people of God who are brought out of the world from being idle, serving sin, to become servants of the Lord Jesus. And we learn here in this parable that kingdom work is a vast work. There was the need of many laborers. The householder could not do it all. There was a tedious, long-term work to be done. There was the digging of the soil, the casting out of the rocks. There was the planting of the vines. There would be the tending of those vines, carrying water, pruning, constant pruning and attention, fencing to protect from wild animals, those little foxes that spoil the vines. And so day in and day out, anyone who plants and cares for a vineyard has much work to do. And then there's the harvest. There is the picking of the grapes. There is the storing of them, the trampling of them, and the produce that has to be shipped. And so there's a vast amount of work to be done. And this analogy is like the kingdom of God. God's plan of redemption in this world is no small task. He has many, many laborers, and they are called at various stages of life and with various stages of ability and gifts. But there's a work for every Christian to do. And we see this kingdom work, it is requiring the labor of all. And so it is incumbent upon us to be busy in the Lord's kingdom. If you're idle, and this word idle, we'll get to it, it's a shameful word. I marked it three times in my Bible with a red highlighter. It's a bad word. You don't want to be a Christian who is dubbed idle. You don't want to be a professing believer in the Lord Jesus and yet become a do-nothing Christian. That is a warning to us here in this passage. Now, kingdom work is noble work. To work in a vineyard to produce these grapes for such a householder is an honest and honorable work to serve the householder to his honor, to further his estate, to promote that his barns might one day be filled with the produce. And so as Christians tonight, we are in a most noble work. It is a God-honoring and a morally uplifting task to be putting our hand to the task of the kingdom. And there is no better work for any man, woman, boy, or girl than to be busy in the Lord's kingdom, in his church, and in the work of the gospel. Now, the world is filled with vanities. It's not honorable work. The world's pleasures and lusts and attractions, they deceive and they destroy. They destroy bodies. They destroy minds. And that form of idleness, serving the world, is just a vanity. And the devil, of course, would have us feed swine, like the prodigal son. And he lures sinners. He lures even those who would profess Christ. He lures them away from their Father's work to be busy serving the vain, empty, worldly, carnal things that will destroy them. And of course, they end up in a place under the wrath of God. But if you tonight are saved and washed in the blood of Christ, serving the Lord in his kingdom, there is no greater work on earth. Who was it that said, "Never stoop to be a king if you're called to be a preacher of the gospel"? We are in the greatest work on earth as we serve the Lord Jesus. Now, this kingdom work is also necessary work. And I've already drawn the picture of all the tasks and all the toil that is involved in planting, caring, harvesting a vineyard. And in the Lord's kingdom, the work of the gospel is necessary. Someone must go. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach unless he be sent? And so this is necessary work. There are countless millions in the world today who need the gospel. And God calls his people to go. Paul the Apostle said that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And so we can't just say, well, God will have pity upon the heathen nations. They don't even know the name of Jesus. Why take the gospel to them? We go because they're perishing. This is vital, necessary, and urgent work. The preacher in Ecclesiastes determined that everything under the sun is vanity of vanities. Now, he went through the whole gamut of things, whether it was knowledge, wisdom, history, botany, plant life, and all the poetry and the things that people take pleasure in, and some of them in themselves are not wrong, but yet he concluded every one of them are but vanities, because man comes, he may gain, he may establish himself, and then his possessions are handed on to someone else. And how do we know that that person is not a fool and will just waste all of that? Life is vanity. And then he came to the great conclusion, and you can read this sometime in Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And really, that's where Christian worship and service begins. The fear of the Lord. We are moved and motivated by who God is. He's our creator. He's our redeemer. And one day he will be our judge. And we want every day and every action and every deed to count on that great day. Job said, "Naked came I in from out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return." And only what's done for Jesus will last. Everything else is vain. Now, kingdom work is also sure work. And I come to the fact that every one of these laborers, these servants who were hired, received one penny. And you know the promise that the homeowner gave. He invited those who were idle to come, and they would receive, verse 7, "And whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive." He didn't mention what the remuneration was. He didn't tell them what the hourly wage was. He just said, "What is right, you will receive." And then when pay hour came, he took the last first. He took those who were hired at the 11th hour and paid them one penny. And then the others came to receive their wages, and they also got a penny. And then they began to murmur, "How come we only get a penny and the others get a penny as well. And of course, the Lord had to address that whole matter. But everyone got what was right, what was fitting for the task, and there ought to have been no complaint. Now, the kingdom work, therefore, is not based on performance. And the Lord takes your little attempts, and he blesses that effort, he blesses that desire, and he will reward you not according to your desert, but according to his marvelous grace. And that's what happens in Christian works. We are received and blessed even for the littlest task, even a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. Sometime I've used the illustration of a child going off to school, and maybe in kindergarten, there's an art class, and of course they get a sheet of paper, and they're painting and drawing, and after school they run home and say, "Daddy, this is for you." And there's excitement in the child's heart to give this wonderful gift of a first attempt of art to the parent. And of course the dad looks at that sheet and it's messy, it's dirty, it's no semblance of order, it's just one big mess. What does the father do? And he said, "You did this for me? You had me in your mind as you worked at this?" "Yes, Daddy." "Oh dear," and he just reaches down and hugs that child because of the efforts. As God looks down upon our service for him, it's imperfect, it's messy, it is sometimes the wrong way around, and sometimes we even make a mess of it along the way. But God grants gracious rewards for every attempt and every act of service. And even at the 11th hour, you may have wasted many, many years. You have given up your youth to vain things. You have sown to the flesh. You have served the world. But even at the 11th hour, if you will give your heart to the Lord and serve him, you will be blessed, because the first shall be last.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, above earth and the joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, this is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Let me ask you,
Are you serving the Lord? And if not, why not? What could possibly be between you and using your gifts, your time, your talents, your whole life to serve the Lord Jesus? Money, you might say, pressures on time, commitments to this and that and the other thing. Let me tell you, the Christian life is very much about choices. You set yourself to serve the Lord. What are you doing right now with your life? What choices have you made? Many people just fall into certain grooves and even traditions and habits and don't even weigh up what it pays. What does it pay to follow after sports? What does it pay to follow after the entertainment world? What does it pay to seek popularity? Very often such people are crushed and they end up empty and with nothing to show for it. If you were to reel on your time till 10 years from now, 20 years from now, and what you're doing, what will be the fruit of it? But if you give your life to the Lord and serve Him, I assure you that you will be blessed. So what can you do? Well, firstly, I would say be baptized. Be a totally committed Christian, with the initiatory right into the Bible-believing Christian church. Become a member, a committed member, to support the life witness of the gospel church. You can ask for a task to do. You can attend the meetings. You can bring others along, use your car, go out and invite, bring them in, and of course, pray. And God will use you in His service for His glory through the ministry of the Word. But in majority of cases, God uses the Christian church. So get involved and throw your weight into those who are already busy serving the Lord. And what a blessing you will have. And what a blessing you will be as you give your life to serve the Lord. And what a future, what a wonderful reward is awaiting all who serve the Lord Jesus. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Thank you for being a part of the program. Thank you for being with us on the air through this year. What a year it has been, a year of challenges and disappointments, heartaches, disruptions. And of course, for many families, it has been a year of sickness and sadly for some even sorrow and death. We cry to God for His mercy for the year to come, that we might see God deliver us from this pandemic. Will you pray to that end? Join with me now as we ask the Lord to intervene at this time. Father in heaven, we come to Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus today. We plead Your mercy and Your blessing. We give You praise for bringing us through to the end of this year, a year that will be remembered as a year of trial and tribulation for all. And we cry to Thee, O God, to deliver us from this pandemic. Turn nations away from their sins. We believe, O God, that this is a judgment. It is the Lord warning that there is wrath upon the nations for their wickedness. And we need to turn unto God, seeking Thee for mercy and for grace. And so we plead for our nation. We plead for the world today, that Thou wilt have compassion. But, O Lord, by Thy Spirit, cause a repentance and a returning unto God from Ottawa to the local provincial legislators, to our municipalities, to our school boards, to our churches. Lord, grant the judgment we know begins at the house of God, and we cry to Thee for mercy. So, Lord, bless Your word and speak on to many hearts. Be glorified today through the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.